Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Ori Spencer and Mr. Rick Schmidt. Today is the 4th day of May in the year of our Lord, 2019. Hope everybody's having a great morning. A few news items before we get into everything. I don't know if everybody's heard about it or not. Huge explosion last night in Waukegan, Illinois. AB Chemical Company. 3 people missing, 4 injured, and 2 walked out, everything, just walking, wounded, everything okay with them. Looking at the pictures, for you vets out there, the only way I can compare it is this building looks like it's been hit by 2 or 3 tomahawks at least. It's just, you know, everything, everywhere. The structure is a 100% loss. It's a mess. But anyway, our prayers are with the families of those that have apparently lost loved ones, and our prayers for a speedy recovery to those folks in the hospital. Folks, last night I spent, yesterday afternoon and last night, I spent probably 8 or 9 hours trying to research what's really going on in the circus in D.C. I think I've got a handle on it. And instead of boring you with all the details, this is what I got to say about it. It looks to me like once the current session of Congress is out, there's going to be arrests. And I think prior to that, you're going to see people like Comey and Brennan and that group of thugs and criminals, at least indicted, if not actually arrested, and doing perp walks. It's all but certain. Right now, of course, the Democrats and the House of Representatives are trying to get rid of Barr before he can get to them. Don't think it's going to happen. They don't have the votes in the Senate to impeach Barr, much less the president. So it looks to me, folks, like everything's all over but the crying when it comes to the Democrats there in D.C. and the people that actually tried to overthrow President Trump in what can only be called a coup. So, with that said, good morning, Lori.
Good morning. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Rick, yes. I know you're there, Rick.
I am, yeah, sorry. I was distracted.
Oh, no problem.
Okay.
Yes, I was busy grabbing another phone. Yeah, I am here. How's everybody?
Doing good, buddy.
Doing good.
Fine, good. All right. Are you sure that sounded like the, what were you thinking about it? Okay. Well, the sun came out here about an hour ago, and as usual, I'm behind with gardening. I don't have my beets in yet. Everything else is just going great. I got the tomatoes in yesterday. Even though they're quite small at this point, I should have started them probably a month early. What I think, if most gardeners know, but maybe beginners don't know, is that if you go to the store and you buy a really, really big tomato plant and you think you're doing yourself a favor, you're not. Two things are going to happen. One thing is you're going to spend way too much money on a tomato plant. And the other thing is that the transplant shock, this thing will almost certainly be root-bound and doing what they're calling circling, which that means the roots are going in a circle. And when you go to put that in the ground, it's going to take a very long time for that thing to find its footing and actually start doing what it is you plant a tomato plant to do. Whereas if you take small transplants and plant them, you'll find that those most cases will catch that bigger one and pass it on by because the little ones adapt the root system is small. It's loosely packed, and that plant is actively looking for a place to put roots. And generally speaking, when you plant a tomato plant, you'll usually bury almost all of the available stem. I don't know if people know that, but you take out your transplant. Let's say the transplant is 6 inches tall. You're going to have a good 3 inches of stem under the leaves, at least. You're going to want to bury that entire stem. You put that, put that whole thing down, and what will actually happen is that you will grow roots. It'll grow roots all along the stem. So that is normal. That's what nightshades tend to do, and that's how that works. So even though my tomato plants were fairly small, I'm going to say mine were maybe 3 inches, I put them in anyway, and then with respect to this, I want to talk about something that I'm going to do this year. I swore last year, of course, I swore this audience an undying oath that I would vertically string my tomatoes because, you know, that is the way high-production people do it, and that's really the way to go, and that is probably true, but what that does leave, that leaves me with, makes puts me in a position to have to do something that I don't necessarily have time to do, which is to build a large, relatively strong overhead trellis to hang the weight from. So I haven't done that. So,
well, cattle panels and T-posts, buddy.
Well, you'd be correct about that, and I think if you're on a farm or something, that is the way you'd want to go. My beds, and now I'm going to sound like some kind of a wussy. My beds are more highly decorative than that. They're made of stone. And putting a cattle panel in there, putting a cattle panel in there is just going to look like poop. So I'm cutting, you're correct. I mean, you watch some gal, I think she's on the Appalachian Homestead, and a lot of people are going to cattle panels. And I use cattle panels for my climbing stuff. My beans and squash are on cattle panels, but they're kind of out away from the house, and they're out there, and once everything grows up on them, it looks pretty cool. I mean, it looks, basically it looks like a big archway. You put them up as an arch, mine are as an arch, and it just looks like a big decorative thing, but it's growing food. I'm gonna do what's called a Florida weave on these tomatoes. I don't like the cages. Foliage gets packed in there too tight. The airflow is just not what it should be. You can see them in there, looking like too many people in an elevator. And I don't like it. And trying to get in there to work the tomato through that cage is not fun. It's irritating.
No,
tying them up doesn't work for me per se because. I always wait too long. So I'm going to do what's called a Florida weave. And Florida weave is good for a couple of reasons. Basically what it is that you put your tomato plants in essentially in a straight row. And then you put a stake on each side of the plant, like right in between every plant. So let's say your plants are spaced, I think in my case, they're only 3 feet. I really spread them out this year. I'm not going to make that mistake again, crowding. Crowding also produces disease. I spread them out pretty good. It's one plant every 3 feet. So 18 inches from every plant on each side, on all sides, is on two sides, in a straight line, are the tomato sticks. And what you do is you weave a string in and out of those stakes like you'd be making a rug, and you just basically you're sandwiching the tomato plants in you're down the first one maybe 6 inches off the ground, the plants get a little bigger, you do another one 6 inches up, and you just weave in and out of the poles and then pull it tight and tie it off. So it's one big loop that goes all the way down and back again. And you just keep coming up and up and up. Now, this leaves you with plenty of room, plenty of airflow, plenty of room to work the tomato, plenty of room to prune, plenty of room to do everything, plus they're windproof. They like to use the Florida weave down on the southeast coast in the Carolinas and Florida, which is might be why they call it a Florida weave. That's what I'm doing this year. And so we'll see how that goes.
I'm curious, Rick.
Yeah.
Are your tomatoes underneath the hoop house that you made?
No. No, I've got them out in the sun, out in the middle. Kind of out in the middle, away from everything, so I get good airflow and good sun. I think some people, they always do the same thing. Every spring, they get all excited. And they say, I'm going to go out, I'm going to plant a bunch of tomatoes, and I'm going to get a bunch of tomatoes. Well, it actually works backwards. You get a whole bunch of tomatoes.
Right.
What you get is a whole bunch of disease and not very many tomatoes. And you find by late summer, you may as well pull those tomato plants out, throw them in the fire, because basically they're just one big ball of virus and wilt, you know, and it's just, you know, whereas if you can keep your tomato plants healthy, they will bear tomatoes all the way until the first frost or the first freeze. I mean, tomatoes, there's a big distance between the time most people's plants curl up and die and Halloween. In many cases, two months. You just 2 months of tomatoes gone, you know, because you thought you were going to corner the market on tomatoes, at least in the neighborhood. And so to this end, I'm spacing my tomatoes out much wider than I ever have before, and one layer deep, just one row, two rows. I've got, 30 feet of tomato plants. So what I've got there is, I think, about a dozen tomato plants, some cocktail, some Roma tomatoes, which is a great paste tomato.
Oh, I love them.
I do, too. It's a good flavor. I've got a lot of acid, but when they're green, they also make the best tomato pickles. That there are. Those are the tastiest tomato pickles. And then some Supersonics, which is an F1 hybrid, and really works well here in Missouri where it gets hot and humid. And so it's pretty disease resistant. It's great, medium-sized tomato, great flavor, really pungent tomato flavor. So that's what I'm doing with the tomatoes. Also got a flat of watermelon radish that I've got to go in. I have a mystery squash here, too, which I'm looking right at. This stuff, I don't know, I didn't buy these, and I don't know if somebody's playing a joke on me or whether this seed accidentally got into a bag of squash seeds that I bought. It doesn't look anything like any pictures on anything that I bought. It is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. This I planted squash last year on one of the cattle panel hoops. They all died except one.
Right.
And this thing, this one plant, produced some kind of weird-looking squash the entire year. Very prolific, very disease-resistant. The closest thing I could come up with was a Y-star, but I don't think that's even it. I looked on every site I could find and on the Internet, couldn't find it. Still don't know what it is. Save the seeds. 100% germination, 100% germination. I have no clue what I've done or what I'm about to do. Well, you know, they say, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I'll plant this again, and let's see what happens. Those will go in on one of the cattle panel hoops. We'll see. Now, I've got two flats of beets that aren't in yet. It probably should have been in at least a week ago, maybe 2 weeks. With any hope, I will get them in this weekend. We've got a wedding later, and then tomorrow the entire family is coming over, and I don't know why these people will not respect my private time. They just insist on acting like some kind of a family, and I find it just maddening. I don't know why they treat me like this, but I don't do this to them. No, I don't know. I have a family, but I don't ever talk to them. I leave them alone because I know they like it. So I'll get the beets in. Hopefully by Sunday night, and then we'll be off on the way. Now, I know we're probably going to hit a break any second, but Tim, what about those pictures of the lettuce I sent you yesterday?
Oh, that was cool. Son?
Isn't that the weirdest thing that you've ever seen?
Yeah.
Folks, what I'm talking about.
Well, there's definitely a difference.
Oh, yeah. There's three times. What we're talking about, we'll probably wind up having to finish this up in a minute, is I was planting, I had two flats of lettuce, which covered four beds, and I had about five left over. And what am I going to do with this? So I was right near the cucumber bed, and the cucumber bed was really super-duper low. It composted down, and the other day I had cleaned the coop, and I'm like, what am I going to do with all of this pine shavings left over? I don't have any place to put it, so I just dumped them in there to fill up that bed. So that bed is about half full of the litter, pine shavings with chicken poop in it. Now, you don't know what to think about that because everyone will tell you, and they're probably wrong, that chicken poop is super hot. They charge a lot of money for it. And I know why, because I've got 23 chickens, and so far, only...
Did we lose him?
I thought maybe I lost my connection.
Okay.
All right, Rick will be back on in a minute.
Well, when Rick gets back on, we're going to have to remind him to take a picture of that squash he was talking about, and then we can place it on our page there on Facebook, and any of our listeners that has access to the Internet and Facebook, they can check it out and see if they know what kind of squash it is for him.
Yep, when I get one, I'll show you. I'll try not to, drop it in, but we have the sun. Yeah, the sun's out today, which means, you know, the phone won't work.
You have sunshine? Because we don't.
I was saying, did I fall apart while we were talking about chicken poop?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chicken poop. You know, people say, well, that's chicken shit, meaning that's bad, but I don't know what they mean because it's really good. But they charge a lot of money. They charge a lot of money for chicken poop and turkey poop. They charge a lot of money for it. But of course, they've let it cool down, you know. And and a lot of professional farmers, market gardeners, use it as their fertilizer, and we'll do that.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. We'll start taking calls at the bottom of the hour, 1-800-313-9443.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
And welcome back. You're listening to Rural Survival here on RBN, and we were talking about our gardening, and Rick was talking about how he had done the wood shavings and his chicken poop dump area.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rick.
How I clean the coop, yeah. And what I do with what I don't know what to do with. Business about making lemonade from lemons, that's what this would be. So you come out of the coop with the shavings, and they don't smell too good. What you'll notice in the coop when it starts getting dirty is a very strong smell of ammonia. If you've ever opened up a diaper that's been on a kid too long, it will just roll your eyes back. But that ammonia is essentially nitrogen. It's available nitrogen is what it is. And So the question when I stuck those lettuces into that bed, which was almost the whole top 6 inches was just litter from the coop, was I expected to come back a week later and those things just to be burnt black. You know, I expected the heat from the nitrogen would have just eaten them up. But 1 week later, the ones in the bed, this is a prepared bed. This bed's pure compost, old pure compost. they look good, but the plants really didn't do much. You turn around and look at the ones that are growing in the shavings. They're three times the size of the ones in the bed, and
right.
It's only been 1 week. It's only been a week. So I decided to stop being lazy and go clean the coop again. And, of course, I took that litter and ran right over to the garden, and I side-dressed all of the other lettuce that was in the bed. It wasn't really growing very quickly. I side-dressed all that with what I took out of the coop. So we'll see. I mean, I think that people like Curtis Stone and J.M. Fortier are correct in that there is a very interesting symbiotic relationship between the animals on your homestead and the plants on your homestead.
Oh, yeah.
And animals. Yeah, well, right. They should be linked, God being what he is, or she, whoever it is. The digestive tract of an animal is a perfect place to develop food for plants. It speeds things way up, obviously. But you know, so to that end, I would suggest that this next few months on Hollis and Nancy's homestead. Videos will be very, very interesting because, of course, since he moved from a little urban lot, I think he was in Virginia, I think, to Florida. Now he's got 15 acres, and I think I said he's going to have feed chickens, laying chickens, turkeys, rabbits, something else. I'm missing something. Maybe goats. I can't remember. But you know he's gonna have a lot of digested matter that he can use in his plants. So
right.
I'm here to suggest that somewhere between now, and in fall, he is going to really very, very interesting videos about the dynamic that happens in a homestead and how it all kind of pieces together. To that end, I would prefer. Just watching YouTubes does not in any way prepare you to survive the situation.
Right.
In order to develop a skill, you've got to try it. I don't know too many people
that
are good at too. Yeah, who is, I've been trying to dance my whole life and it's still not working. Most people aren't very good at something that they're trying for the first time. And once again, I'm going to tell you, if you're waiting until there's an absolute disaster to try your hand at gardening, you're going to die. So just remember you heard it in your first day lab. Yeah. And you're never going to have to listen to it again either. That's the good news. When you're pushing up, when you become compost, I'm going to use you in the garden. So, if that's how you want to roll, that's fine. What other gardening aspect? I mean, I've got more, but you got anything on your mind, Laurie?
No, I was just thinking about that last remark you made. I was thinking, one way to give back, you're
going to
donate
exactly.
your garden.
Well, actually, in Washington State, guys, they have now made this idea completely legal. I guess there was laws preventing it. In this state, there's not. But I guess in Washington State, there were laws preventing composting people. But now it's working. Okay, Buck, we'll be back in 3 minutes, 1-800-313-9443. Give us a call.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the Little Survival Show here on RBN. We've been talking about gardening, but Tim informed me during the break that he had a few things that he needed to go over real quick before we go to our first caller. Tim?
Yeah, real quick. Folks, the amount of time it takes to create videos out of these shows is just ridiculous. We're talking 12 hours, and all the videos are is audio over a just a picture. So we're going to stop doing that and just let RBN Archives, because it's exactly the same audio, be there. And there is a link on the website. That's one thing. There was something else, and I ain't going to lie, I forgot it. I started reading emails during the break, and I forgot the other thing. But anyway, let's go to Art Off the Grid on line 9. Good morning, Art.
Hey. Good morning, guys. How's everyone doing today?
I'm doing good.
I'm good.
All right, well, I got a question for you with regards to my peach trees. But before that, you were talking about tomatoes. With my tomatoes, I generally just let them lay down. That's what they do normally, natural in the wild, is get heavy, they'll lay down. And what a lot of people don't know about tomatoes is tomatoes actually is a migratory plant. It moves. And so because I'm trying to create a food forest, a natural food forest, I need to allow that plant to lay down like it would naturally, because I want it to go back to its natural wild state. And, of course, it's like squash and things like this. These are migratory plants. They travel along. And so the idea is to try to get everything growing in a more natural state. Now, I've got wild spinach growing all over the place. It took 3 years to get it established, but now I got more wild spinach than I'll ever eat. I got more lamb's quarters than I'll ever eat. I got more chuck cherries, ground cherries, whatever you want to call them, than I'll ever eat. I've got more plantain than I'll ever eat. So this is a good start here. With regards to the squash, although it is a migratory plant, what I do, and this is something for people to think about, you were talking about cattle panels. I do is because I have the 2x4 welded wire up as fencing, right, separating my yard from the field. What I do last year I had a bunch of really good crop for squash and cucumbers and such as that. So what I did was I went out, and as they matured, I would watch the stem that comes off of the, actually the short stem, or I guess what they call the hang stem, that comes off of the original, off of the main stem and to the fruit. It's that short little, just a couple inches long. I watch for that to start drying. When that starts to dry, I cut it, and then I take it up, and I just set it up on the banister of the porch, and I let it dry in the sun naturally, and I just turn it every couple days. I just roll it over so it doesn't sit and rot on one spot. And I allow it to just dry naturally in the sun. Once it's dry, I just throw it in a box and I keep it over the winter months. And then in the spring, I carried it out there about 2 weeks ago and just broke them open and scattered all that seed right along the base of the fence. I got a little garden weasel, so I roughed up the soil a little bit. And I just scattered them all along the base of the fence, and then I fluffed the soil to kind of bury the seeds a little bit. Guys, I have got squash and cucumber coming up all over the place out here. That's how you do it. It's coming up like crazy. That's how you do it. Now, what I'll do is I'll let it go naturally, and I'll pick about 60 to 70% of the crop, and I'll let the rest of it rot right there, drop to the base of that fence, and guess what's going to happen next year? It's going to come right up on its own. I have to do nothing. In 3 years, I will have wild squash and wild cucumbers growing all up and down this fence line. That's the goal I'm trying to accomplish. My question about the... You were going to say something?
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to ask a question, Art.
Go ahead.
Where you're at, you've got fairly sandy soil, don't you?
No, I'm in Georgia. We got a lot of clay.
Okay. Well, I mean, where my son lives in northwest Georgia, it's pure sand. That's the reason I was asking.
I'm in northeast Georgia.
You're in northeast. Okay, I had it wrong in my mind, Art. I apologize.
That's cool.
I was thinking you were northwest Georgia.
No, we got a lot.
Okay, so you don't have any problem with fungus?
I haven't had any yet.
Cool.
We had several years back, we had a weird white fungus was coming up at the base of our peach trees. So we ended up cutting all them down, got rid of them. But other than that, I've not seen
oil
other ones.
I was just curious if you tried oil spray on the fungus, Art.
Well, there's a what's it called? Neem oil. Have you ever heard of that?
I believe it's an oil made from a seed. It's kind of a natural fungicide and an insecticide. Indians, Mid-Easterners have to drink some of this as preparation for marriage.
It works really well. If you ever see a fungus problem starting to develop, just put that on there and problem solved.
it's been my experience that you have to do it a number of times fairly close together, but it never did look like a one-time shot. But most organic pesticides and fungicides, normally they aren't like buying something from Bayer, you know, where one shot gets it. The natural stuff takes a couple of tries, but it does work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's usually, I've noticed, because I have had to use it occasionally, and I've noticed it's usually about three applications, but it does solve the problem. It takes care of the problem, and I, you know, because it is a natural, you know, a natural remedy, I don't mind spraying it directly on my plants. So there's a good thing.
Right.
Now, with regards to my...
take care of your fungus, right?
Oh, it took care of it. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Yep. Okay, now with the peach plants, I was gone for several years. So there was a lot going on here that I was not aware of. But when I came back, I noticed that the field out here where I used to have my horse now has a bunch of trees in it, which that field never had trees in it before. And I went out this earlier this year as the trees started to throw out their leaves, and I'm looking at several of these trees, and I'm thinking, okay, that's an elm tree there. That's an elm tree there. I'm not sure what that is. I'm not sure what that one. Or no, that's a maple over there. Okay. And then I'm looking at these others, and I'm thinking, you know, if I didn't know any better, I'd swear that was a peach tree. And there are several of these out there. And so I've been watching them, and about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I'm out there burning the field off because it's been really overgrown really bad. And if you have an overgrown field that you want to try to reprep to do a ground cover and all to free-range animals, you need to get rid of all that weedy stuff. And the quickest and most effective way is to burn it off. So we're out there burning the field off, and I walk over to this tree, and I look, and, well, by golly, I got ping-pong-sized peaches on here. I was right. This is a peach tree. So I'm watching. I go out there yesterday, and I notice all my ping-pong-sized peaches are laying on the ground. Now, we had this problem several years ago, some peach trees that Grandma had out on the other side of the property, that they would get about ping-pong ball size, and then they just fall off. Well, those were also the same trees that developed this weird white fungus. This was before I knew about the neem oil. And we end up cutting all of them down. So I don't know where all of these peach trees out in this field came from, but there's no white fungus on them. But the peaches only get about ping-pong ball size, and they fall off. So I'm trying to find somebody can tell me.
Well, I understand.
Idea what the heck is going on here?
Yeah, I think I can, because we have wild peaches here too. They're when they're fully mature, they're about half a Guinness size of a ping pong ball, white meat, very sweet, big seeds, beautiful when they bloom in the spring. But normally, it's been my experience is too much water is what makes them fall off. With the wild ones. Now, I've actually got some wild ones planted in our orchard because they bloom so, prolifically that it attracts more pollinators. We very seldom eat them because, like you said, they do fall off. But as far as taste, when they get a little bit of age on them, man, they're good eating. I mean, real good. I'll go out there and grab one and pull out my pocket knife and, grab one. Now I grab more like half a dozen. I sat right there and eat them. So,
what color are they when you pick
but
them?
But normally, they're almost a red and white.
Because these are still really
inside.
Green. Yeah, these are, I'm talking about on the outside. Really green on the outside.
Oh, on the outside, they look like a regular peach.
Okay. I don't know. It can't be too much water because we haven't had any rain for almost 2 weeks. So I can't understand why they would be falling off the tree.
I don't either, but I'll tell you where you can find out. I'm sure you can use the extension agent. Or whatever you call it, farm agent. They're called different things in different states. But here, we just go up to the courthouse and got a problem like that. We just go up to the courthouse, knock on the door, and say, hey, can you find out what's going on here? And they'll usually come up with an answer.
All right, because this is really bothering me because, you know, I've got some smaller peach trees that I planted last year out in my front yard, and you know, I got like 3 peaches off of them last year, and this year I got a bunch of little bitty peaches on them, and I'm scared to death that I'm going to, you know, because I put good money into these trees, and you know, but these were trees that I put last year, so I'm kind of worried about them now.
Well, like I said, go to your county extension agent and, you know, just flat out ask them, hey, can you find out what's going on for me here? I mean, with me, I've gone up and had problems with my fruit trees, and they've actually come out and, you know, taken samples of the trees and done soil samples. Now, this is 20 years ago, but I'm sure they still do it, and told me what I needed to do.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. I got to go into town here in a couple more days, so I'll stop by courthouse and talk to them, see what they can tell me. Anyway, appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great one.
All right. Thank you, Art. Appreciate it. Next, we're going to Jerry in Texas on line 3. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Laurie, Tim, and Rick. Good
morning.
Art, I was just listening to Art. There is a kind of a hybrid almond peach looking thing. We've got one. And they don't get very big. About the size of a ping pong, maybe a golf ball size. And that's it. My wife got it at an almond tree. Let's see, what was it? Yeah, she wanted almonds. But something else that will act like that is apricot. Of course, the apricot tree can resemble kind of a peach tree, something you might want to look at.
Yes, they can.
But here's something else. Here, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had 3 nights of 20-degree weather. Now, you've got peaches on the little peaches on there on your tree. It will burn those peaches, and they will drop. Got me on the look back and see. I don't know if y'all got any frost freeze up there or not. I'm sure you did. If we got it here, you probably got some. Well, it warmed up during the daytime, but it was in the mid 20s at night for 3 nights in a row. And it did some interesting stuff to our fruit trees and other plants. But I just wanted to throw that possibility in on that. Did y'all get a bunch of storms this last week?
Oh, we did, yeah. We got more coming. No, we're done with them. I'm sorry. We should be done with them for a few days.
Oh, well, we've got rain coming in, thunderstorms starting Monday again, if the weather forecasters are right. But anyway, I just want to throw that out if Art's listening, those 3 possibilities that on it, and the old native fruit trees are not like the what we consider heirloom and what we put out there that's been kind of bred up. Anyway, y'all have a good weekend. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir, Jerry. Thank you. You call back anytime. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, call in numbers 1-800-313-9443. You're welcome to call in. Talk about anything you want to. Okay, Rick and Lori. Was there something you wanted to put out on gardening? I know you had me looking for that planting chart last night that I could never find. However, I did find some other stuff I was looking for. But was there anything you wanted to put out, Tweety?
No. Rick and I had just talked about, you know, we were going to cover the gardening and stuff this weekend with our listeners. And I just want to remind everybody, you know, everybody's been having really bad weather, including us here in Missouri. But you could do, you know, like a lot of people do, including myself, is you started inside. Now, our ground has been really too wet. It hasn't dried out enough to actually get out there and do anything with our tiller to get the ground going. But I do have plants started in pots and stuff like that. So as soon as I can get out there and get the tiller going where it's not going to sink in the dirt and the mud, I should say, then they'll be in the ground. But for right now, they're in pots. So if you can't put them out right now, the best thing to do is start them inside. You know, if you have to gradually put them in a bigger pot, then do that until you can get them outside. So.
Yeah. Well, I think tomorrow we're going to be able to put some plants out. And since we have no chickens at the moment, I was thinking a perfect place to put the cantaloupes would be inside the chicken runs where it's all fenced in and not even the squirrels can get in. You know, it's unused space and it's easy to get into. You can stand up in there. And I was thinking that would be a perfect place to put all those cats started. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. 1-800-313-9443.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to Real Survival here on RBN. We've been talking about gardening and we've had a few of our callers call in. If you'd like to call in to ask any questions or any subject or talk about gardening with us, number is 1-800-313-9443. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, Rich, you were talking about something, I believe.
I like that. You were talking about something.
something.
Well, I mentioned putting plants in pots and stuff if you can't get them out.
This is the wide open segue to everything. I was, as a matter of fact, sure, I was talking about something in my sleep too. We can go just about in any direction.
Let's go economy first, because it's very important to preparations. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it. The point I want to make is if you look at the headlines on drugs right now, the United States, envy of the world, unemployment, 49-year low, wage hits $27.77 an hour average, I assume, stock market, endless rally, Trump approval, 50%. I personally don't buy it.
No, of course not.
You know, so.
No. As a matter of fact, we got the brand new fake unemployment number out, 3.6. That's the U3, which is the one they're shoving in your face. The U6 is more than twice that. And I really did forgot to check John Williams' Shadow stats to see what the real unemployment was according to Shadow stats, and I didn't do it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you've got the manufacturing index has fallen off of a cliff. Shipping has fallen off of a cliff. Store closures, and I'm talking about brick and mortar, and you can probably...
Well, actually, Rick, let me interrupt you just a second. The Baltic Dry is up about 200 points right now.
That strikes me as a little weird. I wonder why.
I don't trust the numbers.
No, I don't trust the number. With the sanctions on China, it shouldn't have moved at all or fallen. Up 200 from where it was is, I think, probably still abysmal. But at the same time, you've got debt and defaults. Debt is at an all-time high. Defaults, and that's mortgages, credit cards, autos. That's all at an all-time high. The velocity of money, has just dried up to a trickle. And, you know, to that end, you might say, well, you say two things. First of all, what's that got to do with me? And secondly, I'm a U.S. citizen. It's not going to bother me. Well, the velocity of money can't stop here only. This is a global situation. The velocity of money, in money changing hands, is just about dried up. And we'll finish that in a minute.
Right. It has. We'll continue this briefly after the top of the hour. Folks, the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Stand by. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes.
Reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.